So we're going to walk through the service today. 25 of us went to Mazatlan, Mexico. Mazatlan's middle of the country of Mexico out on the Pacific Ocean. And Dori Morales lives there with her family. She's a Hobbs now, a part of YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And they have a base that's probably 7 acres. Is there that much land there, Tom? 7 acres with multiple buildings and then like a 5-7-story building. Anybody count when we walked up? I was just trying to breathe as we walked up and down the steps. And then we stayed there. We ate sometimes there and different things, so it was really nice. And then Javier, we're going to throw a picture up of Javier and Omar, if we can do that. Where's Megan? There's Javier. Javier's on the right. He's the professional surfer. He's the one that runs a surf school now in Mazatlan. Omar in the middle is the drug cartel hitman who got saved in prison and then is radically on fire for God. And we hook up with both of those. Javier helps orchestrate things. Javier's watching right now. Hi, Javier. And Omar, if you can remember, Omar is having some health issues. He has diabetes real bad. They thought he was going to lose his toe and maybe his foot. The latest diagnosis is that he's going to be able to save his toe and his foot, but he has to have surgery this week coming up. So that's Omar in the middle. So they're the ones that we kind of submit ourselves to for the ministry part of things. Mazatlan's a city of about 800,000 people, and so we went down for the last 11 or so days. Maya's still there. Jordan's in Virginia because he's travel nursing. So the rest of us are here. We'd like to share today. But as we start, I want to tell you that we really thank you for how you stand with us as a church body. We really do appreciate your prayers, your participation in all our fundraisers, some of them more silly than others. Many of you just put a check in the box and just randomly gave a donation to us. And so we want to tell you thank you for your support to us. So what we'd like to do is show you a video that Megan put together, which she worked really hard at to have it. We got in last night, so she already has the video ready. If we can turn the lights down like as much as we can on that little down button thing, then maybe you can see our video. The video's 10 minutes, and then a number of the youth are going to get up and talk today. So I don't want to talk. I want you to hear from them. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what you do in our lives, whether it's here in town or whether it's in the state or in the country and all around the nation, Lord, in the nations of the world. Thank you for this youth group, Lord, and how strong they are, how much they desire to follow you, God, in the midst of a culture that's telling every one of these kids that they can't. Lord, they know that they can in the power that you provide for them. So thanks for them, God. We pray you'd be honored through our talk today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have quite the team, guys. We have quite the team. So we're going to walk you through. And so AJ is going to get up and talk a little bit about the build. The build was the first 2 days we were there. So this is AJ. Say hey to AJ, everyone.
Good morning. So I just wanted to give a little rundown of the build.
For the first day, you can see that we did mostly about the infrastructure, putting on siding, roofing, doing a lot of the drywall, a little bit of painting as well. And on the second day, it was more about doing the trim and a little bit of painting and putting in the doors and the windows. Throughout this entire process, we were all pretty grateful for the YWAM workers that we had next to us because they did a lot of the hard or dangerous work, but while still providing a good amount of the easy stuff for us to do. And I think this is really important because it really gave us a chance to come together as a group and create a bond that was created out of love and teamwork. We came together really well, and we all made sure that we, if we needed help, we all got up right away, you know, and did stuff that we needed to do. On the first day, we did a lot of drywall painting and roofing, and through this day, I'm just going to skip that. And I think it was really important that we came together as a group because before, on the first day, you could really see how kind of skittish or timid we were to do things together.
But by the end of it, you could really see how we built that bond, and it was just a bit of a different dynamic by the end of it. And past that, I want to just mention about the dedication, which was when we all stood in a circle and got a chance to pass around the keys and say something that we wanted to. I think this is really powerful because, I mean, it gave us a chance to all say something that we were all grateful to be there and just be a part of the build. But by the end of it, you could see that the couple was just overcome and overwhelmed by emotions. And this is really, really awesome to see, just because when the wife gave a speech about how grateful she was for us, the build, but also just the Lord, and it was just amazing to see. And my personal favorite part about that was when one of the YWAM workers finished up speaking about the dedication, and he gave the wife a Bible, and just to see how hard she like clutched onto it and like held it dearly to her heart was just amazing.
Perfect. Thank you, AJ.
Good. Thank you. Special thanks to Tom and Chris for participating in the build. There's the house, two rooms, front part has a kitchenette area. They have power, but no plumbing or anything. Then the back area's got the bed and stuff. So right beside that brick wall is a small little church that they did a feeding center the second day. Our team was too big for all of us to be there for the second day. There just wasn't enough to do. So we went over into the feeding center, and a lot of the kids went over there and helped them prepare the breakfast and then serve the children. And then the girls for weeks have put together these bracelet things, and they were giving them out. We take stuffed animals, candies, Polaroid pictures that maybe you saw. Well, Lainey's going to get up and talk a little bit about that, wherever Lainey is. Come on, Lainey. There's a picture of the area. Say hey to Lainey, everyone, please. Just talk. He'll get you. Just keep talking. He'll get you.
So when we went in there and we took Polaroids of the kids and, like, handed out bracelets, it was really affecting because, like, those kids, they've never had, like, pictures taken of them. And there was one kid that stuck on my mind, and I was like, photo, because that's, like, what you say when you want to take a picture. And so, I mean, it was one of the brightest smiles I've ever seen in my life, so it was really nice, and they were just really happy about it, and it was just really cool to see that, because it was most kids, if they don't have certain things, they complain, but those kids were just really happy to just have a stuffed animal and a picture of them, and it was really sweet. So,
hang on with me. So, one of my favorite moments happened here. So, I like to just stand in the back and watch the kids interact and do their thing and get out of the way. So, I happen to be standing in the back of this room, and so she has this encounter with that little kid, and she starts weeping. And I happen to be standing there, and she comes up and just jams her head right into my chest, just full of emotion. It's like, what are you thinking, Lainey? She goes, that kid is so happy. It was just real special. You made it special for us, Lainey. Thanks for being a part of the team. So then, though we finished the build, then the second day, and then I'm going to lose track of a lot of things, but Omar, because he was the prison chaplain for the years after he was saved, he goes into the prison multiple times a week, and so due to Javier and Omar, we're able to go into the prisons. So the Monday, nine of us went into men's prison. Otto's going to talk about that in a minute. And then nine of us went into the ladies' prison, and I'm pretty sure it's Tatum. Tatum's going to get up and talk about the ladies' prison. Wherever Tatum, there she is. Everybody to Tatum.
Hi. So going into the women's prison, I didn't expect it to be like how it was. It was everything was outside. It was super open. they didn't really, like, have doors on their, like, cells or whatever they were. There was no uniforms. All the women were dressed in street clothes. And if you've ever been to Mazatlan, going into the women's prison kind of just looks like regular women walking on the street of Mazatlan. It's very, very open. Like, the women had fake nails, fake eyelashes, full faces of makeup. It was just not expected for me. But I gave my testimony there. I gave it twice, but one of those places was there. And I talked a little bit about what my life was like when my parents were in prison. And after that, I had a few women coming up to me crying, talking about how they had children that were about my age. And because of what they did, they would never see their children again, or their children became very angry with them. And I just felt like this sort of connection, and that I was able to pray over these women and talk through them about their children, how their children feel. The women were very happy. They were, like, overwhelmed with emotion and joy. And we prayed for all those women, and unexpectedly, when we were done praying for them, they all got in a circle and prayed for us. So that was really special to see.
Thanks. And a number of ladies gave their heart to Christ during that. By the way, I don't think I mentioned this, but every youth shared their testimony while we were there. And so it was really powerful. The kids are just so open with each other, just sharing about real things that are going on in their lives. Guys, it was really special to listen to these kids talk about themselves in real vulnerable ways. You just knew they felt it was a safe place to be honest and open about the things they're dealing with in life, and to watch our team rally around that kid. It was just amazingly special. Otto's going to come up and share about the men's prison. So as the ladies were there, and then a number of us were over on the men's side of the prison. And so here's Otto. He's going to share about that a little bit.
So like Tatum was kind of saying, the men's prison was kind of similar. There was like no boundaries between anything. So everyone is kind of just roaming around, walking around. And like when we got there, you could tell that like a lot of people were just looking at us, probably because they don't see a lot of like Americans, and a bunch of kids too, you know. And so they're all just kind of staring at us, either asking us for stuff or just like wondering what we're doing here. And we kind of like eventually get to this like kind of like their courtyard almost, and like in the middle, and almost like an awning, I don't know what you would call it, yeah, like a pavilion. And we start doing worship, and there's probably only like 10-11, not too many people there, but like as worship is going on, like more people start showing up, probably because of the music and probably because they see us there, so they're just interested in what's going on. And it was just like a very good experience, but it was also like there's a lot of dualism to it. Like it was very like sad at the same time. Like I could see people, they didn't want to come in, but I could see them on the outside just like laying down, like kind of listening and like sitting across, because they felt, I could just feel like they felt like they didn't want to come be a part of it for whatever reason, like either that they just didn't feel invited or didn't want to speak the word. But also like Tatum, like I shared my testimony there, and that was like a good, not a good experience for me. It was kind of sad actually, but like I'm giving mine, and like as I'm trying to like talk about the things that like I've gone through and the pits I've fallen in, and it's just like I'm looking at all these guys like they've only gone through probably 100 times worse of what I've dealt with. And but as I'm giving it, I can see so many of them like emotional and crying, and they're just like, and I'm like, how am I even able to like reach these people, like, you know? And it was just like a great experience, you know. Even AJ was there, and he delivered his, and there was, I saw a guy right next to me, he wouldn't even like open his eyes, because it was almost like everything AJ was saying just had to do something with what he was going through. And after we got out of the service, we went to like their little church building, and we gave out like a bunch of little pastries and had a bunch of like soda, and these dudes were like just talking to us, and just they were very friendly. Like, they wanted to be around us. They just, I don't know if they liked the energy or they just maybe thought they were going to get something or who knows. But it was just like a really good experience to see for me personally, and I think for all of us who went there, because like it's just so different. And I've never even been to a prison here, so, and but I know how like different it was. Everything was just so open, and you could tell like that was a good thing in some reason, but a bad thing in other reasons, because they had no protection. Like, anything could happen, and it would just, it'd be on them. And it was really nice to have that. There was a guy that, or two that had came up to me, and basically Javier had to translate it, and he was just saying how thankful he was for us sharing our stories and how it resonated with him so much. And it was just like, it made everything that I have gone through and everything that's happened to me like worth it. Like, I have no qualms with the things, the adversities and the things I faced, because some guy in a Mexican prison who has no relation to me was touched by a story that was probably not even as serious as his, you know. And it was just a great experience. And this guy, one of the prison workers there also, well, not a worker, he was once a prisoner and was kind of with Omar, like helping out. And we're talking about like soccer, and I'm talking about the Mazatlan team, and I like watching soccer a lot. And then when we're leaving, he's like, you know what, I've been trying to give this jersey to this guy for like the past 3-4 times, and he either never shows up or he never like doesn't come up to me. So he's like, looks like I was just meant to give it to you. And I'm like, looks like you were, like, shoot. I mean, free jersey, like, I'm not about to. And it was just cool to know that even him, like, I was able to make a connection with this guy, like, and I got a free jersey out of it. So, like, I mean, I came up big. I'm up. So it was just, like, a good experience. It was sad to see these people in the prison, obviously, but hopefully that through what we did in there could connect with some of them. And that was kind of it.
That's good, Otto. That's good. Well done. Well done. Thank you. So just FYI, when we would go into a place, typically there'd be music. We would do a program. There would be music. And then I think the kids have 4 dramas that you do. I lose track. 4 dramas or so that they do. And then I write these stupid melodrama things that I make them do. They don't know what they're to do until I tell them to do it. And so we do that. And then we have clown skits. And so when you hear them talk about it, then a kid will share a testimony, or a couple of them will. And then somebody will preach at the end. So that's kind of how, when you hear them talking, there's this, we kind of walk through that step by step. One of the days we went to women's place, there was so many of them there that we had to do 2 of them because the building's too small. So we did 30 ladies once, they left, and then the other 30 came back in. And so I think Claire is going to share a little bit about that. Here's Claire.
Rocking her Mazatlan shirt.
So the second you walked into the women's rehab, it was like an amazing atmosphere. They were all so happy to see us. We all walk in and everyone's like smiling, and we all go around, shake everyone's hands, and they're like, oh, hi. And everyone was just so excited to see us. And so the room is like packed, like it's so full. We're in this little itty bitty room with like, yeah, like 40 people in there maybe. And yeah, the second we start, I mean, like everyone's like listening, and me and Tatum gave our testimonies to the first group of women. And yeah, it was just an amazing experience. And after we finished our program, and we started to pray for the women, and they were all just so touched. They all were like crying. Many of them were like touched by like the testimonies, and they were already crying, and they were just so happy. Like, everyone was open to be prayed for, and that was just like, they're in such a hard place in their lives, and they still like are just so open to us, and that was amazing. And then after that, we all took like Polaroids and gave out candy for all the women, and they were all very happy about that too. It was really special because some woman came up to me and asked, hey, can I take a Polaroid with you? And that was really cool because, you know, I gave my testimony and she was touched by that. And then for the second group of women that came in, then Grace and Lainey shared their testimonies, and the women were, like, super touched by those. They were, like, crying, and it was amazing. And then I stood in the back for that one, and just seeing, like, all the women just, like, yeah, just so excited and just so supportive of all of us. Yeah, it was amazing. Thank you.
Well done. Well done. The people are super touched because they kids just didn't get up and say, I got my act together with God. You know, they were open and honest about the things that they've been dealing with in their life. And those women, and everywhere we went, those men in the prison, it resonated. That message resonated with them because we're real with them. And yet every kid would say, in spite of the challenge, in spite of the difficulty, God has been faithful every step of the way. And every kid would share that every time. God has proven himself to me over and over and over again. And so these people, I mean, it's just the emotion would be so strong. It was fabulous to see. So Javier is a professional surfer. Now he's not surfing now professionally. So he runs a surf school. So people ask me, well, why do you keep going back to Mazatlan? Well, part of it's because Dory's there, and we connect well with the Moraleses, and we like the YWAMers. But I wouldn't take a team to Mazatlan without Javier, because Javier's got so much energy, right? For those of us who've been there, he's just so outgoing, so fun. He knew every kid's name within a couple of days. Now, he may call them Bud, but he knew their name. No, it's just weird. He just knows them. And so, you know, you saw him with that long mullet wig. He sat there for, like, the kid said, 15, 20 minutes talking to every stuffed animal. You know, talk. He's got a mental problem for sure. That's why we get along so well. Anyway, so he's a professional surfer. So one of the advantages of going to Mazatlan is we take the teams out to the ocean. And so we went out twice because our team's so big that I didn't want to kill Javier with all of us. So I've been to Mazatlan a lot. And these kids did something that I'd never done before. I don't know if you saw the picture, but they had a mud fight with wet sand that lasted for 7 hours. You know, they just had so much fun. So Cassie's going to get up and share. Look, there's the result of the mud fight that went on and on. If you saw the picture, Dayton had a huge, like, cone head of mud. It was hilarious. But also you saw, I don't even know, a number of the youth decided they wanted to be baptized. So Cassie's going to talk a little about that.
So, as you can see, we were very dirty, so it's good that we did baptisms right after this, because there's no way Jose Luis was going to let us in the van like this. But yeah, after this, we did baptisms, and not everyone was baptized. It was more if you felt led, but there were a number of us that did. And Toby lets us do something really cool, which is that you can choose who you want to baptize you. And it was really powerful after everyone had shared their testimonies to see them just having this outward dedication to God and just really giving full devotion to God despite everything they've been through, and in some cases because of everything they'd been through and how God pulled them out of it. So on top of that, having, you know, the person you chose baptize you was just so impactful. Like, Otto baptized me. I know Owen baptized Annalise. Like, there's just a number of people, but there are different people you can kind of identify with because of your testimony. So having that person pray for you, and like, wow, there were some powerful prayers, and I could really feel God in that circle. And that's something that you don't get in every group and every team. So I'm so thankful for the people that I got to go with and that I got to be baptized with.
The ocean is a bit of tricky because of the waves crashing in over you. But we do well with that. One of the later, deeper into the week, we went to an area. Mazatlan is a resort town. Right along the ocean is a lot of really nice resorts, a lot of nice restaurants. Cruise ships come in during peak season twice a week, now in the summer once a week. And so right along the ocean strip is very, very touristy. But you go about 2 blocks out, 3 blocks out, and it's very impoverished. very impoverished. And so we would spend time in the resorty areas sometimes, but then we would spend all our ministry time out. And so the night that we're going to talk about now, we went deep out. And it's so deep out, Jose Luis got lost, he knows that town well. And it took us a half hour to get there because they didn't know where they were going. It was like mud roads with huge, huge divots in it and stuff. Very, very challenging. But when we showed up, there were like 130 people there waiting for us. And so that the evangelism was really cool that night. So Julie's going to share a little bit about that today. Hey to Julie.
Humble too.
What can I say? Hey, Javi. Okay. So we got there, and it was really cool. I had met this girl on Sunday when we were at another Vineyard church, and then we show up, and then she's there. And it was really cool because we got to see her again. But we were there, and she comes up to me, and she's like, oh, hey, Julie. And she's telling us, like, what's going on, because she could speak English really, really well. And so then she gets up, and she's doing all this, and she's with the kids. And then I go sit down, and I'm sitting there. And this was actually – I liked this church a lot. It was a really pretty on the inside. It was really great. There were so many kids. And I sit down, and right in front of me, there are these two girls. And they would keep on, like, just turning around and then just going. And then they would turn right back around. And then give it about 30 seconds, they would do it again. It was so great. And then somewhere in the service, they came over, and they were playing with Tatum and Mac and my own hair. And they were so sweet, so cute. So we worshiped, it was good, we did our dramas, and we did our clown skit, and we all had some pretty crazy outfits on. And then after that, Toby did his sermon, and we sat down, and then Javier sits down with all the kids, and he's talking to them like you talk to little kids, and we're all sitting down, and calls all of our team over, and we're all sitting down crisscross applesauce around all these kids, praying for them and everything, and then he's like, okay, we're going to pray now. And then all of the kids, they get their little hands together and they just start praying. It was really, really cute. But yeah, that was really good. And then afterward, we're like cleaning up and everything. And we did not expect this to happen. Like we've been talking to all the kids and they were really great. We got photos with everyone. We did stuffed animals. Kids were so, so, so sweet. One girl just would not stop hugging everyone. So sweet. But then after that, what we didn't expect is we cleaned up and then they start blasting music. And we're all like, what's going on? And then my friend is up there. She's like up here, and then like all these kids are back here, and then they just start dancing. Like this is like Zumba, VBS, whatever you want to call it. It was crazy. So our whole team gets up and does the dances with her. We do three dances, and then we get to the end, and then we're like, un mas, un mas. And then we didn't do just one more. We did three more. So we did one dance four times, and we wanted to do it today, but we just don't have enough time. But yeah, that was, yeah. It was really fun. We had a great time. That was probably maybe even my favorite night on the trip.
Yeah. So I think Megan's going to show a couple seconds of the kids dancing.
Four minutes. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. The kids did great that night. Really good. Hang on, what's my spot? So we're getting closer to the end. Mazatlan's a town of 800,000, so there's garbage. And so they have dump trucks that run regularly, and the dump trucks run up. And when they dump, people are up there sorting through the trash to recycle. They don't have a recycle thing like we do where we have recycle bins. Right now plastic is the big deal. So as the trash comes out of the truck, they're all working their way through recycling. Anybody remember what Javier said the cost is of the plastic now? 50 cents for a pound. By the way, just FYI. So somewhere. When we got ready to go to the dump, there was a gentleman that was in prison with Omar who now has a fruit business, very, very popular fruit place in town. So a few of us go over there to the fruit business, cut up fruit, help him prepare the lunch for the people in the dump. And so there was a guy there who was working at the company, and he was getting the coconuts out of the shell. and he was grinding trying to get that coconut to pop up out of the shell. And so I asked Javier, I said, how much money does he make? $15 a day. And now the costs in Mazatlan are similar to here. Cost of milk's about the same. Things are about the same. He's working his butt off for $15 a day. Tell me we don't have it made. Tell me we don't live in Disneyland, guys. Tell me that we shouldn't be thankful. You know, God isn't asking us all to move to Mazatlan. I know God's called me to McCordsville, Indiana. But I need to recognize every day that God is allowing me to live in an area where I have air conditioning, I have running water, I have a warm shower, you know, those kind of things. So, you know, it's just, like Otto said a number of times, it's just kind of sad. When you're there, you just get this sense, and it's part of why I love taking youth. One, I love youth, you know that. But two, it helps our kids to see how the other part of the world lives. That there are other places besides Greenfield, Indiana, and they live a different kind of life, hand to mouth. They don't have food. They wake up in the morning not sure where they're going to if they're going to eat that day. And so for us to give what we, so these people, though, they live in the, I mean, let me say this, and it's going to be a little harsh. I don't mean it to be that harsh, but you watch people working hard recycling. They're not on their couch waiting on the government to give them something. They get up every morning, and they have to leave the area at 6 o'clock at night, but the trucks run all night long. So Javier said the first thing in the morning when the gates open for them to go back in to sort, there's a line of 100 workers waiting to get in because the trash is fresh. They work. They work. They're not looking for handouts. And they work their rump off for hardly anything. So we have a few pictures about, here's the team. We're walking our way up to where the trucks are actually dumping. Down from there is where they live, pallets, cardboard boxes, just very, 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 very difficult conditions they live. Grace is going to get up and share a little bit about the dump, though. Come on, Grace. Hi to Grace, everyone.
So like Toby said, a few of us went to go cut up some fresh produce to serve there and give out. I'm so glad that one in particular picture is not up there of me just eating the most delicious bell pepper I've ever had. Glad that's not up there. We bought so much produce because it was just so delicious and fresh, and we were there for probably about an hour or so cutting up fruit and just getting that prepared for them. Then we took the vans separate up there, and you're driving, and you're like, oh, we're here. No, it keeps going. So much trash. You're like, oh, this has to be it. There's so much garbage here. We're here. You keep going. It's never ending how much is there. And kind of what Toby said, you just admire their work. Like, as soon as you walk out of the van, the smell just kind of hits you and just makes you never want to eat or think about doing anything like that ever again. But here we are serving food to them, and they just, like, are used to that. And as soon as we get there, Toby kind of had said, like, they're just going to want to eat and go. And that's kind of what happened. We were just kind of standing around for a little bit like, oh, everyone's gone, because they had to get back to work and provide. And that was, like, really cool to think about. Like, they had to work, and it didn't really hit, like, till we went down to the city and, like, villages to where they live and give out stuffed animals and things to the kids. Like, that's why they work, because they have to, and they don't really complain about it. They're providing for their kids in what way is necessary, even though it's absolutely horrific and disgusting to us. It's what they need to do. And that was really, like, it was sad, as kind of what's been said throughout, but it was admirable that they had that drive, unlike a lot of us here, you know? And that just hit, and I know it hit for me and, like, most people. And it gave us, like, more drive to keep going. We went on the last Friday, which was the last day for us, but, man, that was, like, the this is why we're here kind of thing, so.
Where do you think Jesus would be? So we come down. Notice the line of us. We're walking up. We come down and we stand and talk. And Omar wasn't able to go because his foot's bad, and but his wife was there, and so she was. She shared a little bit, and then we went around, and kids just shared about what they typically. You know me. What do you think? I don't like to wait until later on. What do you think? Right here as we stand. What do you think? So the kids are talking about all the different things that are going on. And it was like real powerful to hear them, their impressions as they stand there and to recognize the blessings that they have and how God has been good, so good to them. And they don't just give a little chunk of bread. There was a plate of food that they give them, warm meal that they give. Every week they go in and do that. So it's real honorable. I just can't get my eyes off the fact that there are needs here in town. Now, I don't think people are able to live in our dump. I'm sure they're not. And so I challenge the youth, who are these people in Indianapolis? Who are these people in your school? Who are these people in your neighborhood? Who are these people that God is calling you to minister to? And that's our challenge, guys, because it's easy to look at that. But we live every day around need, great need, physical need. Yes, spiritual need, sure. Emotional need, sure. But also physical need. And the heart of compassion that God wants to build into us isn't for 11 days in Mazatlan supremely. It's tomorrow morning. It's Thursday afternoon. To find ourselves in places where Jesus would find himself. Amen? That's where Christ would be. And not that we're looking for an attaboy from God. It's just driven by love. I love God. And because I love God, I love his people. And because I love God, I love hurting people. And because I want to be like Jesus, I want to be around hurting people. I want to love hurting people. And there's a lot of them in this town. Amen? There are a lot of them in this town. So let's learn to pray. God, give me a heart. Give me your heart. For those I'm around today, I am so narrowed in on. I'm such a selfish man. I think about myself all the time. I supremely think about myself, and everybody else is a nuisance to me. That's not Jesus. That's not Christ at all. So this was Friday. We come home yesterday, and so then last person who's going to share this morning is, and just get up and share, and I won't let steal any of your thunder, but give a little background as to what you had in your heart as you went. This is Owen, everyone.
Hi. So throughout the whole trip, especially with all the kids that we saw, we were always giving out things, whether it be stuffed animals, candy, the Polaroids. Me personally, I brought a bunch of soccer jerseys and soccer shorts to give to the kids. It was really hard, you know, kind of choosing which kid to give it to because, you know, you kind of want to give them to all of them. During the build the second day, there was a bunch of kids, and I was only able to give one kid one because I knew if I started just handing them out, I was going to run out before, you know, getting to any other kids for the rest of the week. This was the first kid I gave it to. His name was Carlos. He was so grateful. Actually, I called him over to give it to him because I asked him what his favorite team was, and he just said Messi. So I happened to have a Argentina soccer kit, and I gave that to him. And I told him it was a secret. But, of course, the first thing he did was he just kind of, like, ran around with it, showing people. All the kids just swarmed me, and they were all asking for one. And I was like, I'm so sorry, I can't. But just to see the kids smile when they got that. And, of course, they would bring it back to, like, their parents and to see their parents' gratitude that, you know, like, I'm giving them clothes, especially not just because it's a soccer kit. But, you know, a lot of those kids there, one in particular, he literally only had just a shirt on, that was kind of just draped over his bottom half as well. He didn't have like shorts, so that's why I kind of bought the shirt and short combo or whatever. just giving them an extra pair of clothes and sharing my passion of soccer with them, as I know soccer is a big thing in Mexico as well. It was so cool to just see them love to receive and their big smiles, and all of them, after I handed it to them, they wouldn't let go of it. They just kind of like ran around with it. I saw one kid, he was literally just holding it while jumping on a trampoline. I didn't see any of them put it on, but you know. They probably will get to that. It was just an amazing experience. I love kids. I love helping kids, and that's why I decided to bring all that to them. I'm next time we go, I'm going to try to bring some more bigger sizes, because there was a lot of teenagers as well that I wish I could have gave to, but I only bought, you know, small children sizes. Yeah, that's really all I got.
So one of the funny things happened to me. We were doing the build, and like AJ was talking about, you know, you stand around, you do the dedication, and then you get everybody together. I don't know how quick you can pull up that picture, Megan, where they're in front of the house, the group picture. So that's the first picture, and the kids, I'm humbled by how your kids respect me. I'm just humbled by it. I told Javier, it was the second day of the build, and you start to get weary. It's hot, and you see the little canvas awning that they put up over. Without that, it'd feel like it's 180 degrees, but with that, it's still really warm, and so you have to wear down in your energy. So the second day, sitting out in this area, and they brought us lunch, and we're eating. We just finished, and the main builder, Chewy, was there, and he come up and said, "Hey, guys, I need you to," every kid immediately got up, put their trash away, and jumped up and did it. Everyone. And I turned to Javier and said, "That's the mark of a good team. That's the mark of a mature team. That's this group." That's what I saw over and over again. And I told the kids as we got maybe third day in, I said, "Listen, we're going to start getting a little edgy, and you're going to be a little chippy, and you're gonna maybe bump each other, and you guys remember to walk through the Matthew 18 principle and all the things. Don't talk about it to others. Go talk to them directly and all those kind of things, and just be on your toes and all those things." Owen came up to me last day, and he goes, "You know, Toby, you said that. I didn't see a lick of that." And you know what? I didn't either. That is really unusual, you know, because 11 days is a long trip. Anyway, so back to this. Sorry. So the second picture of this is the couple and us. But I said, "Hey, give us your school gang sign." And so, you know, Warren has a, I don't even know what it is. What is it, Warren students? The WC. And so there's like 5 or 12 of us that were Warren and Mount Vernon and other different gangs. The mom and dad, the people we built for, they held up the Warren gang sign. They had no idea what they were doing, but they did it. You know, it was so special. So it was a great trip. Thank you for your prayers for us. We really do appreciate it. If the team could come back up, that'd be great. Tommy, will you come up and pray for us? Hey, I'd like to share one other thing as the team comes. And the last night, I always get together and I ask them about what's going home look like. And again, they were so open, like really, really open. And each one of us, we went around. We talked about what I perceive as I go home, the challenges are. And we can love each other and bless each other. And then I always, and especially this time, I said, "Listen, guys, ministry is not just Mazatlan, home. And so let's go make a difference." And these kids represent a lot of schools around Indianapolis. They represent a lot of businesses. They represent a lot of communities. And our prayer is that the fire that was kindled in Mazatlan would burst into a bonfire, amen? A blaze of fire in, well, Maya's not here, 24 hearts. And it would affect your home life. It would affect their work life, their school, everything they do. Everything they do. Amen? That's our prayer. So if you want to pray for us as a team moving forward, please do. We could pray for those kind of things. Now, parents, I need to tell you this, and this is an honest truth. The devil didn't like what happened. and the devil's battling, and the devil's going to make things challenging at home. So we get off the plane last night, and the parents are there. Thanks for coming and getting your kids. I'm always glad when you're on time and you take your kid home. And God's honest truth. And we got in the car with Sandy, and the weight just leaves me. The weight that, you know, you don't even realize you're carrying of responsibility and wanting everybody to get home and not have any injuries. Those kind of things. It just kind of falls off me, and I turn to Sandy and says, I'm so glad all the parents were here on time, because it's great to get out of there, but, you know, and everybody's home. So our challenge as we move forward is the kids are going to come under attack. Parents, you're going to come under attack. So we get off the plane, and we walk, and one of our kids who wasn't able to be here this morning, her mom and her little brother was there, and she wanted to be here today, but they had plans, and they started arguing. And I heard it, but I didn't do anything. And then they walk on, and I walk up beside the girl and said, "How's it going?" She goes, "I haven't been off the plane in 5 minutes, and already I'm arguing with my mom." That's what's in front of us. God is bigger than that, amen? But be on your toes, parents. The devil's going to try to rob the joy, rob the seed that's been planted in their hearts. So let's be praying. Let's be gracious. Let's be kind. Let's be loving. Youth, be loving to your parents. Love them well. Amen? We've talked about it. Don't let your guard down either. Okay, Tommy, can we pray together? How about you stand up with me? Grab a hold of somebody you love, or even if you don't even know them, grab them like you love them anyway.
Toby, you shouldn't have given me the mic.
It's okay, Tommy. Talk if you want. Tommy's been there a lot. Go ahead, Tommy. Share if you like.
A few things. 300 and, how about 38, 40 homes? I think that's where we're at now. You built one for a special family. And again, this is our second home. You met Dory. You met the family. Ikaiko's out there with you, and I'm sure the boys were. So thank you so much, because they feel that every time this church, this body of believers, you as youth go out there, they feel so special, because you're doing it not only for their city, for their ministry, but for them. So thank you for that. And by the way, Chewy and Grace did have their baby boy, as you know, Elias. He was born, I think, Wednesday morning, and we know Chewy. He's a gentleman who's been working on the houses and almost died when he was working on the main base. He got electrocuted and stuff. So that doesn't mean he was not a good builder. But anyway, the point is, thank you so much. And what Toby said really resonated with me. So many times I take teams down there. How do you bring that fire back? And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of different ways, and it doesn't have to be an emotional piece. It's just little steps, whether it's respect, whether it's thanking those that have really given to you. You saw how different your life is to theirs. Don't feel sorry for them. They've got a lot of dignity. They have happiness that we don't have a lot of times. And that's more special, Tom, because we have a lot of, I was going to say some four-letter word, in our lives that we don't need. He's given them a simple life, but one that they live fully. So let's pray. My Lord, thank you so much for these young disciples. Thank you for their willingness to do what you asked them to do, Lord. Thank you for the fact that we have that opportunity to be part of them. That's right. Lord, this is not just about us giving money. This is not just about us being a church or a body, but it's about us living for you through them. Thank you so much for their hearts. And as Toby said, protect them as they move forward, Lord. There's so much that's going to be attacking the obstacles they face. But as we know, there's nothing that can keep you from doing the work that you want in us.
Right.
Thank you, love, for loving us, yeah. Protecting us, yeah. And for the love that you've given them. And thank you for bringing them back safely. That's in your holy name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Toby.